It is the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer Kent. State lawmakers have spent most of the night hammering out deals in private. Republicans want to bring together enough votes to pass a sweeping package of lame duck proposals designed to empower the Republican-controlled legislature and weaken incoming Democrat Tony Evers' administration. So let's go to the Capitol now. Let's bring in Sean Johnson. He's the State Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. Been up through the night. Sean, bring us the latest. What are they doing right now?
They are doing a lot right now. So most of the night, it was extremely quiet here. You had Republican senators meeting privately to hash out the details on a lot of this stuff. And then this morning, I don't know, maybe an hour before we started talking here, both chambers started debating again. And the Senate has actually passed the main bill, I guess you could call it, this morning, the bill that would include most of the restrictions on Governor-elect Tony Evers and Attorney General-elect Josh Call. The same bill also includes the restrictions on early voting that we've heard about recently. That passed the Senate on a vote of 17-16, with Republican Robert Coles joining Democrats in opposition, all other Republicans in favor. So the Assembly right now is debating that bill, or at least they were a minute ago before we started talking, but things are moving fast here.
Do you sense that they've been making some amends, making some agreements behind closed doors?
They adjusted the bill that I just described in terms of the way that it treats the Attorney General and creating power of special counsel. But I can't tell you exactly in detail to what degree they did that. I mean, there still would be a power in that bill for legislators to hire their own private attorneys. That was in the original bill. I believe that exists in the one that passed the Senate.
And they're debating some bills at the same time, knowing the other chamber is doing it at the same time. So how does that work in concert together?
The Senate is basically in the driver's seat on all this stuff because
okay.
they had the, I mean, just kind of because of their consequences or their circumstances. They've got a slimmer majority in the Senate. They had members with more concerns over there. And so if Republicans wanted to pass something in this one-day session, which is, leaked into a second day, they had to basically give the senators, the Republican senators, what they wanted. And so the Assembly has basically been in a holding pattern, negotiating with the Senate, but letting the Senate take the lead here in terms of what these things are going to look like. Now that the Senate has passed it, they can send those changes over to the Assembly. The Assembly can concur, and then they can send it to Governor Scott Walker. He has not said what he's going to do with these bills, but he's never said, he's going to veto them. He did talk about lawmakers having a right to be here. Their terms run through January, says his term runs through January. So he's definitely left the door open to signing all this stuff.
Okay, and so this session has leaked into day two now. And, how much longer might this go on? Where do you sense they are in the process?
They are pretty near the end of the process here, I think. And so the Senate just took up that big bill. The Assembly is still debating. I mean, there's just more people over there, and they're going to want to have their say on this stuff. And so, I think final outcome in the Assembly is probably not in doubt, but it's just a matter of everybody getting to say their piece over there. The Senate is now taking up a bill dealing with pre-existing conditions. The issue that we heard about over and over during the campaign, This is an amended version of a bill that passed the Assembly earlier this year that calls for protections for people with pre-existing conditions. But that bill is not identical. The one passed the Assembly is not identical to the Affordable Care Act by any stretch. And so to tell you what's in that Senate bill that just landed within the hour and what's in those changes, I can't do that.
Sean, is there an advantage to working this quickly? What is the atmosphere like around you at the Capitol?
It's basically legislators, staff, and reporters here at this point. I mean, there were some people in the gallery yesterday. There were some protesters, but they went home a long time ago. It's moving pretty fast. The advantage to Republicans is they want to get done with this. They do not want to come back for another day. The longer these things hang out there, they could lose votes. There's an old adage at the Capitol that when you have the votes, you go to the floor. So Republicans were here all night working on getting those votes. If they went home and took a nap and came back, there's a chance somebody changed their mind. So they're here. They're going to vote these things through. And you can bet it's not going to bleed into another day.
Do you get the sense that they understand fully what's in 141 pages?
I don't know. I mean, they have had the benefit of meeting behind closed doors,
mm-hmm.
With the help of the legislature's attorneys to kind of decipher this stuff for them. But, when it comes to big bills like this, it's often a process that's driven by legislative leadership. So.
Yeah.
Couldn't vouch for every rank-and-file member of the Senate, but they do have more information than the rest of us do.
We're getting minute-by-minute updates here on this lame-duck legislative session with our Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson. Your thoughts and questions on the session are welcome. 800-642-1234. What legislation are you keeping an eye on? Were you one of the protesters at the Capitol? 800-642-1234. We'll continue this update on the state Capitol proceedings here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. Our eyes are on this lame duck session and the bills that are passing the Senate and Assembly this morning. We will continue that in just a moment, but first, it is our winter membership drive. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good morning, here with Jean Purcell. Our largest source of funding is listener support, and that means in this season of giving, your gift is so important. Take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's where we are right now. We are looking for 15 pledges in about the next 40 minutes or so, so we've got lots of time to get there, but we're going to need your help to do it. And by the way, a big thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't yet, give right now, early in the morning at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Here on this program, of course, you'll hear from policymakers, you'll hear from politicos, and of course, you'll hear from our state Capitol reporters as they talk about questions and issues on a wide variety, particularly lately, of state topics.
Absolutely. Like on Mondays during the state Capitol report, we cover legislative sessions. Right now, we are in this string of days where we're covering the state Capitol as we look at this lame duck session. And we have our trusted Sean Johnson and Laurel White, both our guides to this. On Fridays, we have fun exploring all of our state has to offer with Wisconsin Weekend.
That's right. We cover a lot of ground in Wisconsin every single week, and you are part of that. You're part of it as a listener, as a caller, and as a contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking you to support this valuable source of information and access to great guests with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You listen to WPR year-round. Now donate the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. Make the decision once, and you'll make ongoing contributions of, say, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish.
That's right. Sustaining membership is the way to go because it will always be current, and it cuts down on paperwork. So don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Yes, you are in the driver's seat. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. We're asking for your support during this year-end membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift right now of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
As we end the year, as we close in on December, it's a great time to think about what is important to you in your life. And because WPR is important to you, make a gift to support the station that you count on. I guarantee you'll feel great when you give. WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have hour-by-hour goals to stay on track during our drive. We need 15 pledges this hour. You and your friends, get on board. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
That's right. It only happens because of you. And if you are a sustaining member, by the way, who is already making ongoing monthly gifts, we'd like to take a moment to say thank you. But if you are a sustaining member, you might think about making today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $10 a month, or pick whatever amount it is you choose. You can make your increase to your sustaining gift, or you can make your first ever pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org, or give us a call at 888-202-2552, and thank you.
It is the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State Democratic lawmakers called the lame duck session illegitimate. Lawmakers pushed ahead overnight through public protests yesterday, through their own internal gridlock and opposition from Democrats. Senate and Assembly are set to send dozens of changes in state law to Governor Walker's desk today. We're getting minute-by-minute updates with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson here. You can call in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Go ahead, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Sean, let's talk about what lawmakers have done since about 4:30 or 5 o'clock this morning when they came back to the floor. What do we know, first up, Medicaid?
First up with Medicaid.
Yes.
I've got too many things in my ear here to concentrate at once. I mean, we know that they have passed, the Senate has passed the big bill that would restrict Governor-elect Evers' power, Attorney General-elect Kohl's power, and would restrict those election dates. The Senate is currently debating pre-existing conditions plan. Details of that is still a bit unclear at this hour. Democrats are saying that it's not enough, but that's where those two stand right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so both chambers are, you can kind of hear them echoing back and forth here in the Capitol.
We can hear it. We can hear it in your background. What have they done on transportation?
So with transportation, they passed a bill. This was one of the less controversial of the bills that came up, but only because of kind of what the competition was, a bill that would change the way that federal transportation funding is parceled out. So it also change some Wisconsin tax laws. So those passed both chambers. Medicaid, brain freeze when you asked that a moment ago.
That's okay.
is thawed. So what they did there was there were a number of waivers, that federal waivers that Governor Walker has asked for during his administration. So, having a work requirement for people who are food stamp recipients, Medicaid recipients, things like that. Essentially what the Senate bill would do is lock those in, would not let Tony Evers, the Democratic governor-elect, rescind those waivers. So as it stands right now, because this is not yet signed into law, if Governor-elect Evers came into office, he'd have the power to kind of unilaterally say, we're not going to do this. We're asking for these waivers, these permissions from the federal government to take care of this stuff. we can rescind those. But under this bill, he wouldn't have that ability, so those would be locked in. During the debate, Democrats said it would go beyond that. They said you're going to have the Department of Health Services under the administration is going to have to ask the Joint Finance Committee for permission to do everything. That it's kind of setting up a super committee in the legislature with the Finance Committee where pretty much anything that the administration wants to do has to run through them. And you did have a number of health organizations, too, contacting legislators saying, this is a huge and complex change. We don't know enough about it yet for you to take this step. And so they were urging caution, but that bill did pass.
And then there are some changes to WEDIC as well in the State Economic Development Board.
Yeah, that made it through, and this was in the big bill to pass the Senate. What that would do is give Republican legislators more of a say on that board. So WEDIC is the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. This is an agency that Tony Evers said during his campaign he wanted to get rid of. What this would do is right now the governor has a majority of appointees on this board. This would change it to where legislators have a majority of appointees, majority Republican legislators would have the bulk of those, and then that board would choose the WEDIC CEO. That person is now chosen or nominated by the governor. So it would take an agency that's already kind of a quasi-public-private agency, but is an executive agency, and make it more of a legislative agency. So that's a significant change as well.
Talking with Sean Johnson right now, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. These bills would weaken the governor's power to put in place administrative rules, enacting state laws. The legislature, not the governor, would have the majority of appointments, as we have just heard, on the state's Economic Development Agency. We're tracking the impact of this sweeping legislation with an eye on what is passing right now with Sean Johnson. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. We're closely following the votes in the lame duck session with WPR's Capital Bureau Chief this morning on The Morning Show. But first, an update on our winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. We're in our year-end membership drive here on the Ideas Network, and it's your financial support that is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy here every single day. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2018 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got about 24 minutes left in the hour, and we are looking for 14 more pledges to make our goal. It's your gift right now that is so important, because when you give, you're the one who is supporting the programs that you rely on every single day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you make your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio, you support a lot of things, but one of the things you support is state capitol coverage. And if you look back in time, there used to be a lot of reporters covering the state capitol. Those days are pretty much gone, and these days, very few news organizations make that commitment to having full-time reporters at the state capitol. Wisconsin Public Radio does that, and you're hearing the results of that this morning. Sean Johnson on the scene there, bringing us up to speed on what is happening in this extraordinary session. WPR is listener supported, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you're the one who makes this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes and then make your pledge.
During this holiday season, give something extra when you support WPR. Your donation makes the programs you love possible. And you can ask for one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month.
Yeah, these terrific thank you gifts provide meals to those facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. So you can do two good things at one time with your gift to WPR at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable, but nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing, and I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Jean Purcell telling you listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on each day. And that's why your support during this year-end membership drive is so crucial. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And I'm here to tell you that giving to WPR is easy and it takes just a few minutes. We don't need too much. What we need is your name. We'll need your contact information, how to get a hold of you. We'll need the amount of your pledge. And finally, how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just 14 pledges to go before the top of the hour, about 22 minutes to get there. Remember, you're the one who makes WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Make that pledge right now. Get this year-end pledge drive off to a terrific start. And you can make your pledge. It's easy to do. Just go online. Do it online at WPR.org, or if you'd like to give us a call, it's easy to do it that way, too. 888-202-2552, and thank you for your support.
It is the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Republican lawmakers have worked through the night to bring together enough votes to pass a sweeping package of lame duck bills. They're supposed to give more control to the GOP-controlled legislature and then therefore weaken the incoming Democratic administration that will replace Governor Scott Walker in about 5 weeks from now. What are you following in this extraordinary session? What bills do you have questions about? 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Sean Johnson is staying with us. He's there at the Capitol. He's WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, been there working through the night. Sean, we know people come and go as they listen to the morning show. Can you bring us up to speed on the latest recap for us, what we know now in the votes?
Yeah, and for some of this, I'm relying on my colleague Laurel White, who is in the Assembly Chamber covering that body right now. I can tell you that the Wisconsin Senate did pass the big bill that would restrict Governor-elect Tony Evers' power in a variety of ways. It would block Tony Evers and Attorney General-elect Josh Call from dropping the lawsuit to overturn the Affordable Care Act. That's something that they promised to do during the campaign. Under this plan, they'd have to get the permission of the legislature's budget committee. It would give the legislature more power to hire private attorneys to sidestep the Attorney General. It would put the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation more under the control of the legislature, give them more appointees to that board, let that board pick the Weedick CEO. It would restrict early voting, scale it back by about a week. That is in the bill that passed the state Senate and is going before the Assembly right now. The Senate also confirmed more than 80 of Governor Walker's appointees. So that included a couple appointees to the Public Service Commission and the Board of Regents. Those are long appointments, so they could actually serve, you know, theoretically longer than Governor-elect Tony Evers, depending on whether he ran for a second term. They also passed changes to restrict Governor-elect Evers from undoing Governor Walker's federal waivers for things like a work requirement for people who receive food stamps or Badger Care. So that one is going to the governor's desk. The assembly is still debating the other one, dealing with early voting, the Affordable Care Act lawsuit, et cetera.
Well, late last night, Republican Speaker Robin Voss tweeted this: "We have allowed far too much authority to move to the executive branch. Have these bills been a long time in coming and just coming to a head right now?"
Well, some of these were drafted after the election, so you certainly can't say that about all of them. I mean, Speaker Voss is a big proponent of legislative power, but at the same time, they have passed in the legislature bills over the years to give Governor Walker more power over things like the rulemaking process. So, I mean, it is a difference in governors is leading to the different approach here, as Republicans don't trust the direction that Tony Evers would go in. In fact, they've said that they don't like that he would enact liberal policies in Wisconsin. That makes them, you know, concerned. They're scaling back the governor's powers that over the years, members of both parties have grown.
Well, in 2010, with incoming Governor Walker, I recall, did he ask for this type of thing not to happen? Give us some history there.
Yeah, so in 2010, you had Democrats in control of all of state government. They had the governor's office, they had the assembly, they had the Senate, and then they lost it all in the 2010 election. And so they did have a lame duck session in 2010. But it was far more limited than this. And in fact, the big things that they showed up there to pass at the Capitol during that lame duck session, they did not pass. I mean, they were there to pass some union contracts. A couple Democratic senators sided with Republicans in that instance, and those contracts failed. But that was the extent of that session. It was not as far-reaching as this. At the time, Governor Scott Walker did write a letter to then-Governor Jim Doyle and asked him to hold off on a lot of these changes. He has not put the brakes on at any point during this extraordinary session of the legislature.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Lori is joining us from Vernon County. Hi, Lori. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. I would call this hypocrisy and stealing the vote. But back to my questions. I have one question. Was this on a voice vote, or so can we track down who voted for what? And then I also wanted to know about the WMC laws on environmental rulemaking. I mean, this is more than writing a contract. They're changing the Constitution there, right? They're taking administrative powers away to implement the laws that the legislature makes, right? Legislature makes the laws, that the administration implements them, and they're taking that power away. So this is basically a one-party regime that they're imposing. So I don't think we have to be so cautious about talking about this. Thank you.
Lori, thanks for the call. Sean, so her first thing there was about voice votes versus what votes are on the record.
They have this vote on the record, and, you know, the big bill that a lot of people were watching, that passed 17-16. Republican Senator Robert Coles joined Democrats in voting no. All the Republicans voted yes. The other bills have been on the record. These have not been voice votes, so if you want to see how your legislator voted, you can look that up. But I can tell you that one that would, you know, restrict the power of the Attorney General and Governor to get out of the Affordable Care Act lawsuit, that would, you know, beef up Republican legislative appointments to the WEDIC board, those other steps. That one was the only one where you did not have a strict party line vote in the Senate. The other ones have passed on 18-15 party line votes.
And Democrats don't have the votes to prevent these Republican initiatives. And Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach responded this way. Let's take a listen.
We're going to look back on this, and it's going to be a stain on the Republican majority legacy and Scott Walker's legacy.
So do you think that there will be perhaps payback here or not?
Well, I mean, they're not in a position to exact any kind of a payback right now. Mm-hmm. Republicans have strong majorities right now. They will have similarly strong majorities in the next legislative session. So the difference is they will have to work with the Democratic governor. But Democratic legislators are basically in the same boat that they're in right now.
And how has Governor-elect Evers responded to the events of this session so far?
So Governor-elect Tony Evers has called them a power grab, has said that, you know, you're basically undercutting the vote from November 6th, that people chose a governor, and now you're sort of taking that choice away from them in a way. He's said these things, but at the same time, Tony Evers is not, you know, an attack dog by any means. He does not have an aggressive tone in these comments, and almost in the same breath, he says, I'm still going to try to find a way to work with Republicans. This is something he ran on, especially in the general election campaign, and something he's talked about pretty consistently in his, you know, in his interviews since he was elected. He's not out there really strongly criticizing Republicans. And so he was on CNN yesterday, criticized these moves, but also said, you know, I'm going to try to work together with Republicans because that's what I do.
And this extraordinary session is making national news headlines. You're filing for NPR as well. How does Wisconsin fit into the conversation across the country?
You've seen this a little bit elsewhere. I mean, Michigan is the other state that gets brought up where there's been a change in power, but Republican legislators have, in those states, Wisconsin, Michigan, been unwilling to grant a new Democratic governor all the powers of, you know, their Republican predecessor.
Has Tammy Baldwin commented?
She has. Congressman Mark Pocan has. They've been pretty critical of these moves, but they're not in a position to do anything about it. I mean, Congressman Pocan was perhaps the most outspoken about some of this stuff. He's a former state legislator and a personal friend of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I mean, they served together. They kind of respect one another's wit, and they were friendly adversaries, let's say. And Congressman Pocan said, you know, I believe his terms were that Speaker Voss is better than this. He seemed to be trying to get the Speaker to back off of some of these changes. I'll say one thing that Republicans did back off from was a plan to move Wisconsin's presidential primary from April mm-hmm. to March in 2020. That was something that looked like it was going to happen. That did not pass the legislature. And so the significance of that move would have been that Republicans felt it would have given their conservative Supreme Court candidate a better shot in that race. That change did not happen. You had clerks coming out saying that would have created a logistical nightmare for them to run that many elections in February, March, and April so close together. And, you know, that one's not going to pass.
Sean, very quickly here, sure, in 20 or so seconds, what should we expect yet this morning?
You know, the Assembly and Senate are still debating some of this stuff, the Assembly in particular, and then, this is all going to go to the governor's desk once it's all done, but the Assembly's got a lot of debating to go yet.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for your work, for keeping us up to date. We truly appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. We'll hear from our state capitol reporters. Still to come on the morning show, we bring you the latest on this extraordinary legislative session. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network. You're with us on the morning show here on the Ideas Network. We are moving from the state capitol and looking more to economics as the Dow took a huge tumble yesterday, falling 800 points. We're going to solve some economic questions next hour, so I hope you stick around for that. But first, it is our winter membership drive, our year-end membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. Your support is vital to all the programs on WPR. It is the largest source of funding, and that's why we're here to ask you for your gift right now as 2018 comes to an end, and we look forward to starting 2019 strong. So make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are nearing the end of the hour, and we are looking for 14 more pledges in about the next 6 minutes, which is a lofty goal, but I've been here before and we can do it again. These hourly goals are set up to make sure that we've got the funding we need here at Wisconsin Public Radio to keep bringing you all of the programs that you enjoy, the programs that you count on. So make your donation now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have spent the past hour, minute by minute, getting the update from the state capitol where we are watching this lame duck session. We have our state capitol bureau chief there, Sean Johnson. We have Laurel White, our state capitol reporter. They have stayed up through the night watching this session, bringing us live updates. If you appreciate this type of reporting, if you appreciate this coverage, this is what we're all about. This is the public service. WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this very hour and many, many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your pledge.
Public radio is such an unusual funding model because it's really public radio on the honor system. And the beauty of making a voluntary contribution to support WPR is that you're the one who gets to decide how much to give. How much is it worth to you? And if you've got the wherewithal to do it, we're asking you this morning to consider a gift of $100 or possibly even $200 a month.
That might be what you pay for your cable. That might be what you pay for your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
December is a special time of year. We asked some people, what are your year-end traditions?
Our family generally gets together at my mom and dad's house, and we just spend time with each other.
Going for a walk in the first snowfall of the year.
Getting out my Hawaiian Aloha Advent calendar, which has a giant Santa Claus in an Aloha shirt and flip-flops.
Make giving to Wisconsin Public Radio one of your year-end traditions. In return, you'll get programs that make you think, laugh, and start conversations all year long. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell, and we are raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we truly appreciate and we count on your gift.
We do appreciate it. So thank you for being a WPR listener, and thank you to everyone who is already a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's listener support, it's your support that makes Wisconsin Public Radio an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
Because WPR is your radio home, support it now. Make the news, the discussions, the music possible with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're asking that you make a contribution this morning, but we're also asking that you give an amount that is comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 a month or more.
You know, I'm just looking at these fabulous pledge smiles, they call them, coming through, Gene. Patrick from Stevens Point says, I'm a truck driver living in Stevens Point. I drive the lower 48 from work. I'm always comforted to find WPR on the radio dial, regardless of where my work takes me. So just love to hear from that, Patrick, there.
Yeah, what a great story. And thanks to Patrick, and thanks to everyone else who's made a pledge, who's made a call supporting Wisconsin Public Radio this morning. If you'd like to get in on the action, you can pledge online at WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.